I always like the second homily of the day because I can take my time and I don't have to rush. Okay? As I promised 2 weeks ago, to talk about what the Pope had reportedly had said to somebody same-sex attraction and to the Italian bishops, but that was over 2 weeks ago, and I said I couldn't talk about it because of the past two solemnities are, by their own right, should have their own homily to talk about the Holy Trinity and last week with Corpus Christi. So now, just to get back to follow up on what the to discuss what the Pope had said, reportedly had said over 2.5 weeks ago. Who told you you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree I have forbidden you to eat. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. In 1992, statesman, journalist, Pat Buchanan was asked to speak at the Republican National Convention. He pointed out in his speech that the Cold War is over, but now there is another war going on in America, this time a cultural war. He pointed out the rise of abortion, contraception, pornography, homosexual actions. He said that this war is for a war for the soul of America. And he was right. All these things are deeply attacking the soul of what our nation stands for. But unfortunately, after 25 years, this culture war is, by and large, is over. And we have lost. Pornography is more pervasive than ever before. Yeah, the rise of homosexual marriages now that have to be accepted. At least the Supreme Court says we have to accept them. We have all kinds of drugs and just growing by leaps and bounds across our nation. So the culture war, by and large, has been lost. But there is still another war going on, a culture war of sorts. But this time it's for the soul of the church. Culture war for the soul of the church. This is what we're experiencing in these past 5 years and writ large. It's been going on longer than 5 years beyond Pope Francis's beginning. But it really has come to a head under his tenure as Holy Father, as Bishop of Rome. And partly to blame is the way he handles himself, the way he speaks or doesn't back up what he says. So he'll say something to some groups, but then when they go to verify what you have said, there's no record. The Vatican either denies he said it or says, well, we don't know what he said, or they don't respond at all to questions. And that's the case that happened with this young man who has same-sex attraction that the Pope said something to him. But this is going on right now in our culture, this culture war, and it's becoming more and more pervasive. There's a company called J.Crew. They are making LGBT pride clothes for toddlers and kids, in which it says love first. Okay? Love first. And in Illinois, they're trying to promote a Senate bill in which schools, Illinois schools, have to talk about LGBT history as a part of Illinois history, famous homosexual men and women in Illinois history. So this is something that is currently in our culture right now. In fact, there is a gubernatorial candidate for Maryland who is homosexual. And he has a political ad coming out talking about his particular stance. But then his political commercial is going to end with him kissing his homosexual partner and then turning to the camera and saying, take that, Trump. So this is in our face, okay? This is currently going on. And so as your pastor, I need to address some things. particularly one issue in particular that was reported that was said by the Pope 2.5 weeks ago. And what was reported? Let me read to you from the paper, from the internet. The young man, Juan Carlos, came out of a meeting with the Pope, and he said the Pope told him, God made you like this and loves you like this, and it doesn't matter to me. The Pope loves you like this. You have to be happy with who you are. And so it's been reported that the Pope told him that God made him gay. Okay. Again, the issue is, did the Pope say this? When asked, the Vatican Communication Office doesn't respond. So it is troubling, huh, what this Pope has been doing, what he's been saying. And so some of this is okay, huh? Looking back to the catechism, going to test your ability to remember the old catechism. Who made you? God made us, okay? Baltimore Catechism, one of the first questions. Who made you? God made me. Next question. Why did God make you? Does anybody know? Remember that? To know Him and to love Him. Okay? To know God and to love God and to serve Him in this world and in the next. Okay? Baltimore Catechism, very clear. God made you. God made you. Yes, God made us all in that wider sense. But, as we heard in the first reading, and this was providential, we know that something went amiss. Okay? God did give us free will. And we misused that free will to eat the forbidden fruit. We sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, and such is called the what? Original sin. And this original sin is a sin of nature. It's not a personal sin. It's just part of the human condition. What's the first effect of original sin that we can see? Death. Death. Scripture says God did not intend death. Death comes by way of the jealousy of the Satan, of the devil. It's a fall, it's a connection of original sin. And what are the other two effects of original sin? The darkness of our minds and the weakness of our wills. So, this is what the human condition. Yes, God made us, but we have sinned. All of us stand in need of God's grace. And this is the good news that Jesus came to give us. That He came to reverse what Adam and Eve did. First, by His resurrection, offering us eternal life. A death will not be the final say. But also by His grace, that His grace comes to us. His grace comes to us to strengthen us, to help us, to enlighten our minds, and to strengthen our wills, so that we can do what we ought to do. That we can be good, be holy people, holy disciples of Jesus Christ. So, to tell somebody that God made you with this condition, whatever that condition is, let's say it's alcoholism or some physical deformity or anything, that God made you that way is a terrible thing to tell somebody. No pastor should ever say that. This is pastoral malpractice, okay, to tell somebody this. So if the Pope said this, he was wrong. This isn't Catholic teaching. But the least I could fault the Pope on is, this man says the Pope is saying this. Well, the Pope should correct the record, okay? If somebody came to me and then turned around and reported Father Sapay said this and was wrong, I would be the first one to say, no, I didn't say that. Okay? That's not what happened. I can't let that stand. I'd be obligated to tell the truth of the situation. So, the whatever reason the Pope has not addressed this, So we have to realize, yes, we're all born in with original sin. We all have faults and failings. But thanks be to God, we have Jesus Christ. We have the grace that comes to us from Jesus Christ. So this is the situation that we have in the church today. Huh? People are saying different things about what the church teaches is, but it's not. It's very clear. We look at the catechism of the Catholic Church. It says, homosexuality refers to relations between men or between women who experience an exclusive or predominant sexual attraction toward persons of the same sex. It has taken a great variety of forms through the centuries and in different cultures. Its psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. What that means is we don't know what causes same-sex attraction. The classic case in psychology, nurture versus nature. Okay? Are all problems, what causes it? Is it nature? Is it genetic? Or is it nurture, how you grow up? And so the issue regarding homosexuality, some people say, well, it's genetic. Well, there's no proof of genetic gene, a homosexual gene. In fact, those who in the community who are thinking, they don't want to find a gene. Okay? They don't want sexual attraction, same-sex attraction, to be genetic. Why not? You have to think this through just a little bit. Because it doesn't reproduce itself. Two homosexuals don't have babies. Okay? I mean, it's kind of commonsensical once you think about it. So they don't want it to be genetic. So is it nurture? Well, we don't know what triggers this. We don't know what triggers this. I've studied this. I've attended conferences by Catholic psychologists who give us the best understanding they know regarding what causes same-sex attraction, and we don't know what triggers it. We have ideas, but we don't know. But now, with young people, you ask a millennial, somebody under 30, about the issue, it's not just same-sex attraction, it's the whole issue of gender. So, statistic, 50% of young people think gender is fluid, that gender can change. Okay? And if you look up the internet, gender, you can get all kinds of numbers for different genders. Okay? You can have any number you want, but two. Okay? You can't have two genders. Okay? You can have any other number and be politically correct. But to be politically incorrect, you say two, you're wrong. So this is what we're dealing with in our culture right now. This whole issue is being clouded on purpose. It's like having the kids wear love first. It doesn't matter what your sexual attraction is. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. In fact, there's a deep study on the health benefits or the health warnings if you engage in same-sex behavior. There's a doctor out in Boston who is a urologist, and his hospital was promoting these pride parades and pride things within the hospital. And as a doctor, he said, wait a second. I have a whole list of diseases here that happens within this community. And so he started printing out the list of diseases. If you engage in this behavior, this is what you're up against. Well, he was fired for doing that. Because they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear this. What's the highest, biggest cause of death within this community? It's suicide. It's suicide. Because it's a terrible lifestyle. So the church is in no way can it promote this. Why? Because it's intrinsically disordered. It's intrinsically disordered. Again, well, what does that mean? They can't produce babies. They can't produce babies. It's just the way it is. So, it is contrary to the natural law, and under no circumstances Can it be improved? Now, the number of men and women who have a deep-seated homosexual tendency is not negligible. Now, the statistics on this, I've talked to Catholic psychiatrists on this, is roughly 4% of the population have same-sex tendencies. That's broken down something like 2.4% for males, 1.6% females. But it's not the 10% number that you often hear. This inclination is objectively disordered and constitutes a trial for most of them. It must be accepted with respect, compassion, sensitivity, and every sign of unjust discrimination in their regard should be avoided. These persons are called to fulfill God's will in their lives, and if they are Christians, to unite the sacrifice of the Lord's cross to the difficulties they encounter from their condition. They are called to live chastely, as is everyone. Everyone. Sex is to be within marriage, between a man and woman, united in matrimony. Now, you tell young people that today. No. This is a real big problem with our young people. So it's not just homosexual, same-sex attraction. It's the whole issue of sexuality. And what can we do about it? Well, the only thing I can do about it is talk about it here, okay? Now, I sent out a postcard to people in Westville 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when Justice Kennedy came down with a decision and said that it's constitutional to have same-sex attraction marriages. But he also said in that document, if you have religious or philosophical disagreements, you do not have to accept it. I pointed that out at that time, that he said that in that document. I was somewhat vindicated because Justice Kennedy recalled his words in the recent case with the Colorado Baker. The Colorado Baker was a Christian. He didn't want to have to make wedding cakes for a gay couple. Justice Kennedy said, well, he has religious or philosophical reasons. That's his constitutional right. So we need to know that regarding this decision by the Supreme Court. We do not have to accept this. We have religious or philosophical reasons. And the church does. Philosophical, natural law, religious, because of the teaching of the Bible. Sex is to be within marriage between a man and a woman, geared to the openness of life. So this is something that is very current in our day and age. I had an email directly after the Pope said this, that it was reported that God made this man gay. So this is email says, first of all, I want to say you're one of the worst fathers that ever ran St. Mary's Church. You're a closed-minded, judge-minded person. You are not a person of God. You don't have the right, W-R-I-T-E, to judge anyone on whom they love, fall in love with. I've been keeping a close contact with the Pope on how you run St. Mary's Church in Westville, Illinois. The Pope has even said that people that love the same sex, God made them live that way. I think you should step down from St. Mary's. And all the people that are members of St. Mary's think the same way. You are not a man of God, but you are a man of hate. And we don't need you to be running our church. Signed doctor, I won't say his name, but he says PhD. So, first thing I would do, if you contact the Pope, you should proofread your messages, okay? Do a little spell check. Secondly, my name is spelled with two P's and it has an accent above the E. It's French. Okay? Don't want to be confused with somebody else. Okay? So, this is currently happening in our society today. So, as a church, we have to realize that God, yes, God made us all, but we have to contend with original sin. And this is where Jesus comes in. This is why he came into the world. To combat Satan, to combat death, and to combat sin.